Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Verses 13 and following. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In this passage of Scripture, Paul discussed the position of the Gentile and God's scheme of redemption. And we should certainly know that if one wasn't a Jew, then he was a Gentile. So this passage has everything to do with you and I. And while the Jews were born into the position with God through circumcision, the Gentile was an alien from God, that is, a stranger. And so when Israel was being blessed from the overflow of God's goodness, the Gentile was hopeless. He was helpless. He was hapless. However, God, through Christ, broke down the wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, that they might both be children of God. And once the Gentile became a fellow heir with the Jew, the Gentile became members of the house of God. And you remember what Paul told Timothy about the house of God. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so in order for there to be a house, there must first be a foundation. And Jesus Christ certainly is the chief cornerstone of that house. And as we deal with this idea of Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, I want to consider this first lesson for Sunday morning. He set the foundation. The foundation is the point from which all things originate. God didn't make trees until he had somewhere to put them. And so God made the heavens and the earth first, then he began his creation week. Because Jesus Christ is the foundation, he has complete and sole authority over all things, even in religion. And so by his own authority, Jesus established the rules of salvation. Jesus has determined that salvation of man would be based on their position. And so there is a preposition to our salvation. What is a preposition? Well, a preposition is a word that typically denotes a location or a position. You can actually see the definition in the word itself. Preposition. Preposition. And so in this passage of Scripture, we find a few different prepositions that I want to briefly address, and the lesson will be yours. First, as Gentiles, our position was that of being outside of Christ. So if you're taking notes, our first thought is that our first position is one of being outside of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 11 and 12 that was so eloquently read for us in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verses 11. Paul writes here, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ." So we were outside of Christ. That was our original position. We were outside of Jesus Christ. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You'll notice that our first position as a Gentile is that of being without God, that of being without Christ, that of being outside of Jesus Christ. Paul told about the life of a person outside of Jesus Christ. Now, the difference between the Jew and the Christian is this. The Jew was born into the family of God and then taught of God later. But the Christian is taught of God first and then born into God's family. That's the difference between the salvation of the Jew and the Christian under the various dispensations. The Christian is taught of God first, then born into the family of God. In verse 1, Paul said that outside of Christ, we are dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are dead. See, my friends, outside of Christ, a man believes he's living. A man thinks he has life, but he's really dead. He's a dead man walking, is what we would call someone who's outside of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, their physical body may be animated, but their spiritual life is dead. Their physical body is walking around, and really when you think about God breathing life into man, Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Let me tell you why the spirit of man, every man, goes back to God. Even evil men, their spirits go back to God. However, their souls go to a different place. The spirit of man is the life force of man, the animated force of man. Now, the word can be simultaneously switched. It can be used as the word soul sometimes. So you have to let the context define the term. However, the spirit of man is the breath of man. And so the spirit of man is the animating life force. That's why the spirit of man goes back to God from whence it came. When a man dies, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. When a man dies, his body goes back to the dust and his spirit goes back to God from whence it came. So God breathes into man's nostrils. Man becomes a living soul. And so we understand that man who is outside of Jesus Christ is dead. That man is dead. He's a dead man walking outside of Jesus Christ. And the cause of this spiritual death is separation from Christ. And when we are outside of Christ, we are separated from him by our sins. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, God says to Judah through Isaiah the prophet, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. By the way, God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. The only prayer God hears from a sinner is the honest heart who's looking for salvation. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Outside of Christ, not only are we dead, Paul says, but outside of Christ, we are disobedient. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 2, Paul said that those who are outside of Christ, those whose previous position is one of being separated from God by their sins, Paul says that that person is not only dead, but that person is disobedient. When a person belongs to the devil, that person is disobedient. Outside of Christ, we are just not dead, but we are disobedient. And when we're disobedient, we are of our father, the devil. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus speaking to the Jews. They thought they had Abraham as their father. They were proud. Abraham is our father. No, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own because he is a liar and the father of it. When we are outside of Jesus Christ, we belong to the devil. Now, there are some good folk. There are some good folk outside of Jesus Christ, some good moral people. However, their father is the devil. They are separated from God by their indiscretions. And once a man has one sin is enough to separate from God. Just one. And so outside of the blood of Christ, just one sin is enough to make you a child of the devil. And so when a person belongs to the devil, everything goes. Everything's okay. Homosexuality is okay. Revelings, various partyings and banquetings, that's okay. Gambling is all right. Fornication is okay. Thievery. Everything's okay. Being a busybody, spreading gossip, everything's all right when you're a child of the devil. Extorting people. Reading and believing horoscopes. All this stuff is okay for a person who's outside of Jesus Christ. Believing psychics, calling psychics, going to visit psychics. All of this stuff is all right outside of Jesus Christ. Being hateful, sowing discord, killing people with our tongues. When we are children of the devil, we are disobedient. We are dead outside of Jesus Christ. When a person belongs to the devil, they're foreigners to Christ. They are dead. They are disobedient. And finally, Paul says outside of Jesus Christ in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, you are doomed. You are dead, you are disobedient, and you are doomed. Being outside of Christ means an eternal destination of doom. We talked about this in our Bible class this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. An eternal destination which is comprised of eternal separation from God. This is above my pay grade, so don't ask me how this works. You can ask God if you get there. Amen. Our entire goal on this earth is to make it to heaven. That's the whole duty of man, is fear God and keep his commandments. Whole duty. Everything we do should be toward that end. To fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. Now, when we look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, I don't know how this works. Again, this is above my pay grade, and prayerfully, if I make it, I can ask God then, how is it that an omniscient, an omnipresent and omnipotent God won't be in hell? We are separated. Those who don't obey, those who are disobedient, will be separated from God, from the glory of his power. Be separated from God in eternal doom. So Paul said, outside of Christ, which is our previous position, one is dead. Ephesians 1 and 1. One is disobedient. Ephesians 2 and 2. And one is doomed. Ephesians 2 and 3. So Paul says, Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3, you're dead, you're disobedient, you're doomed. If you are outside of Jesus Christ. But secondly, I want to notice how that position changes. And how that position can change based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a personal relationship. But a relationship that is based on obedience to his word. How we relate to him, because he relates to us as a man. And he learned disobedience by the things that he suffered. Hebrews chapter 2. He became obedient even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2. And so Christ relates to man in the fact that man can become disobedient to God's word. Or become obedient rather to God's word. And so Christ relates to man. And so our relationship to him through obedience to his word shows us how our position can change. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 18. Turn there with me. Ephesians 2, 13 through 18. Now, Paul says in 11 and 12 that at one time, or the Gentiles, were without Christ. They were without God. That is, that they are outside of Jesus Christ. But in verses 13 through 18, Paul says, but now in Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For, watch this, through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. And so as our position changes, we move from being outside of Christ to now going through Christ. Paul said that through Christ, Gentiles were granted the opportunity and path to becoming citizens in the kingdom of Christ. When Christ died, you'll remember this. When Christ died, the veil of the temple was torn in twain from top to bottom. Now what this was this access to God. This is the illustrative purpose of the twain, the tearing of the veil in twain. The illustrative purpose is to show that now access to God is permitted not only to the Jew. It's not permitted only to the Jew, but all who would be obedient at the foot of the cross would be allowed access into the temple. Now you remember what the temple is in the New Testament. The temple is now the church. Jesus Christ, being our high priest, Hebrews 4, had to pass through the heavens in order to be our high priest and offer the sacrifice of atonement. Why is that, brother preacher? Well, the reason is because when Jesus was on earth, he was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. Therefore, he could not be a high priest. And so Jesus couldn't offer the sacrifice of atonement until he entered the heavens and became a high priest. That's why the damnable doctrine of premillennialism does not stand. Because Jesus will never, ever step foot on this earth again. If Jesus Christ stepped foot on this earth again, then all of our sins come flooding back on us. The reason is because he cannot be a high priest on earth. Because he is a Jew. He's out of the tribe of Judah. He cannot be a high priest. And if you look at Zechariah 6:13, this one's free. This is not even a lesson. But if you look at Zechariah 6:13, I'm going to prove something to you here. Now, Zechariah 6:13, Zechariah prophesies that the Messiah will be the branch. The coming Messiah would be not only a priest, but he will be a priest and a king on his throne. What does that tell me? That tells me that Jesus Christ simultaneously has to be a priest and a king at the same time. Now, I'm going to build this argument for you. Now, I'm going to show you how to talk to your denominational friends who believe in premillennialism. You build this very simple argument based on Zechariah 6:13 and also Hebrews 4:12. Now, when you build this argument, Hebrews 4:12 through 15. Now, here's why Jesus won't step foot on this earth again. Again, Hebrews 7:14 tells us that Moses spake nothing of the tribe of Judah concerning the priesthood. Nothing. The priests were to come out of the tribe of Levi, especially high priests come out of the lineage of Aaron. Now, he has to be a priest and a king at the same time. According to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 15, Jesus Christ is a king right now. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the only potentate. He's the only one with power. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords right now. So if he's a king right now, then he's a high priest right now. And if he's a king right now, then he has a kingdom right now. Because in order to be a king, you have to have a kingdom. That's what kingdom means, domain of a king. And so if Jesus is a king right now, he has a kingdom right now, which means he's not coming back to establish one. My friends, the church is the kingdom. The church of Christ is the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Paul said, God hath translated us out of, has moved us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. If Jesus is coming back to establish a kingdom, then Paul didn't know it. That one's free, by the way. And so, Christ took away the law of Moses, which was the veil. The wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile church to be justified by the Old Testament ordinances and practices is heresy. That is error. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses in order to usher in the new law. And so we go through Jesus Christ. Denominationalism at its core is sinful because it is divisive. But Christ came to reconcile into one body. He came to reconcile into one body. And let me tell you something. There is only one church. Christ promised to build one. Matthew 16:18. Christ shed his blood for one. Acts 20:28. Christ married one. Ephesians 5:25. And Christ is coming back for one. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Through Jesus Christ, we are brought into one body. Let me tell you God's phone number, in case you don't know it. It's 111-1111. That's God's phone number. Ephesians 4:4-7. Turn there with me. There's only one. God has always been a God of one. Always. Always. He's always been a God of one. He's always had one family. He's always had one law at a time. He's always been a God of one. We look in Ephesians 4:4-7. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are calling to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is above all, through all, and in you all. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. You will find 7 ones there. God has always been a God of one. And so through Jesus Christ, we are brought into the one body. Well, Mr. Preacher, it said one body. How you know the body is the church? Well, if you jump back to Ephesians 1:22-23, Paul says this. He says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Ephesians 1:22-23, and have put all things under his feet, and have given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if there is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and the church is the body, Ephesians 1:22-23, then there has to be one church, and that's of thus saith the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, we are brought into the one church. And so this is our preposition. We are outside of Christ, but then through Christ, we are brought into the body, so that finally we are in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:19-22. Now, verse 18, for through him. Verse 19, now therefore, now, what now, Paul, after you've been brought into the body, now therefore you are no more strangers. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Remember what the household of God is. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God. The household of God and the church of God are the same thing. And so now that you've been placed into the one body, you are now in Christ. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now your preposition has changed. Your position has changed. You are outside of Christ. You now go through Christ to be placed into the body where all spiritual blessings are. You are now in Christ, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, outside, you were outside of God. But through Christ, you are now in God. Your preposition changes. Your position changes in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the chief cornerstone. He set the foundation. He set the foundation. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Obviously, Paul is not talking about a physical edifice. He's not talking about a physical building. He's talking about a spiritual building. That is the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, the church that is Christ, the church of Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, Paul points out the fact that in Christ, both Jew and Gentile have been reconciled. That is, brought back into a proper relationship. That's what reconciliation means. To be brought back into a proper relationship. When I was in banking, and I used to manage banks, and people would come in all the time, especially young people, who had overdrawn their checking account. And they would come in to me and they would say, what is the problem? I don't have any money in my account. And I would say, well, have you reconciled your checkbook? And they would say, I don't know what that means. And I would say, that's why you don't have any money. You've got to balance that thing. You've got to bring it back into a proper relationship. You've got to make your funds balance. Our relationship, how we relate to God, our position in God, in Christ, has to be reconciled. It has to be brought into a proper relationship. That's what reconciliation means, into a right relationship with God through the blood of Christ. And when that happens, we are now in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. In this right relationship are found spiritual blessings. Well, what are the spiritual blessings of being in Christ? Well, according to Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Spiritual life or spiritual living can only be found in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2. The lost are saved in Christ. Ephesians 2:12-13. We are sanctified in the church of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:1-2. We become a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are one body in Christ, Romans 12:5. We are wise in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:10. We are begotten through the gospel in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:15. We can truly rejoice in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:31. God establishes us with other brethren in Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:21. The Old Testament veil is done away with in Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:14. The simplicity of the gospel is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. We have liberty in Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:4. We are children of God by faith in Christ, Galatians 3:26. By obeying our Lord in baptism, we are all one in Christ, Galatians 3:28. The faithful are in Christ, Ephesians 1:1. God has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 2:6. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. In Christ, the Gentiles are made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. God's eternal purpose is found in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3:11. Every saint is in Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:21. Our faith is in Christ, Colossians 1:4. Paul's desire was to present every man perfect in Christ, 2 Timothy 1:1. God's purpose and God's grace was given to us in Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 1:9. Faith and love is in Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 1:13. Grace is in Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:1. And salvation is in Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10. Church, we have a position when we are in Jesus Christ. We have eternal blessings given to us, all spiritual blessings that belong to no one else in Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful to God every morning that we get up and our feet are able to grace the ground. We ought to thank God every morning for being in Christ. And you know what? For those who are obedient to Christ, His blessings are new every morning. His mercies are new, is what Jeremiah was saying. His mercies are new every morning. Being in Christ is a beautiful thing. We don't operate on borrowed blessings. Every blessing we receive is a brand new one. A brand new one. According to the inspired scriptures, there's only one way to be in Christ. And that way is for us to put on Christ. And we put on Christ when we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. And when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into His death. Romans 6:3, where the blood of Christ is effectively appropriated, remitting, forgiving, and washing away our sins. Acts 22:16. After our baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27, we can, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, go on our way rejoicing. Acts 8:39, having a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21, because we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Romans 6:17. That doctrine or that teaching which God commanded us to do, in Acts 10:48. remembering that if we truly love the Lord, we'll keep his commandments. John 14, 15. We might ask, well, when is a good time to obey the Lord in baptism? Well, the inspired scriptures speak on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are not a member of the Lord's church this morning, we plead with you to change your position. Change your position from one that is outside of Christ to one that is in Christ. Change that position. Your immortal soul is the most precious commodity you will ever own on this earth. It's more valuable than silver and gold. It is your immortal soul, the one you have a choice over. There's not many things you have a choice over, or there's not many things, rather, you can control. But your eternal destination is something you can't control. You can't control if you're married. You can't control your spouse. If you have children, you can't control your children as much as we like to think so. My little one has proved that. You can't control your job. You can be let go tomorrow. You can't control your health. You could even pull out of here in your car and someone hit you and take your life. There's not many things you can't control. You can't control your eternal destination. You can control where your immortal soul will rest for eternity or not rest. You do that by being in Christ. That is the only position that you should care about. Being outside of Christ is only meant to move you into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. And when we are brought into Christ, we are brought into the body of Christ, the church of Christ. There is no other name, and the name does matter. And I've had this discussion with even brethren. I've had this discussion with some brethren. I use the term loosely. I've had this discussion with some errant brethren. Let me say that. Had this discussion more times than I really like to have it. In Matthew 26, 26 through 28, and this is a very simple argument I build. It's hard. It's a hard argument to destroy. If you like this, you can write this down. And you can even have this discussion with your denominational friends, and the lesson is yours. Very simply, my friends, we have to be honest. We have to be honest souls. There are good people in the world, but they're not honest enough to be obedient to God. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 28, Jesus Christ institutes the Lord's Supper. You'll notice here that Jesus says two things, possessive pronoun, my. He says two things belong to him in this passage. He said, this is my body. It belongs to me. It's mine, no one else's. This is my body. Peter, or Paul rather, calls it the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus said, my body. Paul called it the body of Christ. In Matthew 26, 26 through 28, Jesus has another possession there. He says, my blood, mine, belongs to me, nobody else's. Peter calls it the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1, 18. My body, body of Christ, my blood, blood of Christ. Jesus said another possessive pronoun, my, John 18, 36. My kingdom. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 5, the kingdom of Christ. Now, no honest soul will argue with any one of those passages of scripture. No honest soul. No honest soul will say, oh, my body, body of Christ. Yeah, that's the same. Can it be Paul's body? Can it be Peter's body? Can it be the community body? Can it be the Presbyterian body? No, it's the body of Christ. The blood of Christ. My blood. Blood of Christ. Jesus said, my, my, my. Paul said, his, his, his. Now, when we get to Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says the same thing. He says, my church. Now, if you agree with the first three, you got to agree with the fourth one. If you agree that my body is the body of Christ, and you believe and you agree that my blood is the blood of Christ, and you agree that my kingdom is the kingdom of Christ, then you've got to agree that my church is the church of Christ. Romans 16, 16. Now, that's the honest soul will have to admit that. You can't have my body, body of Christ, My blood, blood of Christ. My kingdom, kingdom of Christ. My church, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal. You can't do that. That's not honest. It is the one body. Make no mistake about it. He reconciles into one body. If you're not a Christian, you become a Christian by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6, but our faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do I get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? John 8:24. You shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Repent, that is, have a change of mind toward sin based on godly sorrow that results in a change of lifestyle. Luke 13:3, but I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all die or perish. Confess the sweetest name on mortal tongues that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of the living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then finally, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. That is how you obey the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul says that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the scriptures. He said, I preach it to you, you received it, you stand in it, you're saved by it. That's what he said right there, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Saved by what? The gospel. I preach it to you, you received it, you stand in it, you're saved by it. The gospel. Well, how do I do that? Romans 6:3-4. Baptism. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and the Lord will add you to the only church that heaven has a record of. It is the church that belongs to Christ. The Lord will not add you to some man-made, fabricated body. He will add you to the one established by his Son, Jesus. If you found yourself a guilty distance away from God, this is a time that you can also repent of your sins, confess them, and ask the church to pray for you. If you just need some prayer during these trying times, you can make that request known also. If you need to obey the Lord's invitation, if you need repentance, confession, or prayer, just prayer, why don't you come while we together stand and sing?